Mugabe, including many other leaders in the region, they don't use baton-wielding security forces and police and the military to quash civil disobedience or dissent anymore. So you don't see civic activists being beaten in the streets or hearing of their abductions, like Justina Mokoko, when Beatrice Mtetwa was beaten and tortured. What they do now is they monopolize the courts instead of violence to maintain control. And that is not going to get the same headlines, certainly not the same international headlines, as overt physical violence and brute force often does. So Mugabe's learned that you use the courts, laws, and pieces of legislation to stifle civic activism, to stifle the political opposition, and maintain power. And there's very, very little international criticism because it's done under the guise of the rule of law.
But now, obviously, that is a known tactic. And some are wondering, where is the international community at this point to counter this tactic?
I think there are a number of different layers there. I think the first layer is elements within the political opposition, which have sort of discredited themselves over the past several years. And within civil society, I think they have to take a hard look at themselves, what they're not doing right, where they could learn to do better. Certainly, I understand the fact that it's a very, very repressive environment. But I think right now, civil society is suffering from a collective malaise where they really haven't galvanized themselves after August 2013, when the election results were announced. Secondly, I think it's a responsibility of the Southern African development community. For instance, they have to hold themselves up to their own lofty standards, of which they've agreed to. For instance, the SADC guidelines and principles governing democratic elections.
What is the possibility that also the attention on Zimbabwe has been withdrawn because there is somewhat of what could be considered, even though it's arguable, a legitimate government in place? They won the elections in 2013.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. You know, I honestly would say that I think during the last elections, for sure, ZANU-PF, as opposed to the MDCs, was better organized. They had better grassroots networks. They really went out there and campaigned. You know, I was there in March of 2013, and everywhere you went, you saw ZANU-PF posters, you saw people canvassing. I think that the opposition, particularly the MDCT at the time, took it as a foregone conclusion that they were going to win. You know, I remember talking to Morgan Tsvangirai, and he was convinced that the MDCT was going to win. There was no doubt in his mind. But to unseat, as you said, a liberation party that's been in power for 35 years, it's not an easy feat. They came close several times, and I think 2008 or elections prior, clearly the vote was stolen. But I think even with a free and fair playing ground, ZANU-PF in 2013 may very well have won that election.
Now, does that put organizations that are trying to help civil society groups and push the democratization movement in a dilemma?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are two separate issues. I think, obviously, the opposition parties need to get their own houses in order, and civil society needs to get their own houses in order, too. And I think they've been dependent on each other, oftentimes.
Right,
and rightly, criticism is that they've been too close, and oftentimes they've been conflated. You see many people moving back and forth between MDC leadership and leadership within civil society. And obviously, you're going to see that in a lot of different countries where civil society becomes the opposition because the political opposition has been annihilated. But there still is that problem of conflating the two. And I think there needs to be a much more clear line that delineates the two.
Some say, well, that's the Western donors. They put sometimes the opposition and the civil society in the same pot because the mission is the same.
Yeah.
Democratization.
Absolutely. I think we can lay a lot of blame at the feet of civil society, but we can also lay a lot of blame at the feet of international donors and international implementers, for sure. You know, certainly it's not made out to be, you know, the machinery of regime change that Mugabe likes to so often hurl at the West and civil society and the opposition. It's not even close to being as coordinated and as, you know, a monolithic force as ZANU-PF likes to portray as this threat from the outside. It's not.